and his band of folks there are getting ready for you for some fellowship and some food, and we hope everybody is able to go, and it'll be a good time of fellowship. So let's take another look at Hebrews chapter 2 tonight for a few moments. Hebrews chapter 2, beginning in verse 8. We spent a little time here on Sunday evening. I want to work on this just a little bit more tonight. And the apostle says, "But thou hast put all things in subjection under his feet. For in that he put all in subjection under him, he left nothing that is not put under him. But now we see not yet all things put under him, but we see Jesus." Praise God. As you're seated tonight, if you love his word, let's give him praise and thanks for his word that is forever settled in the heavens. We thank you, mighty God, for the privilege of handling your word tonight. We thank you for the richness and the goodness and the blessing of your word. Praise God. And so again, the writer here says, we know that God has already won the victory, but we still have to walk through this process of time and this existential journey, and we've got to walk through this business of living in our flesh and all of the things that are subject to that. And so he's already won the victory, but we don't see everything tied up and wrapped up in its completed form yet. But we will. We know what's going to happen. The Lord's going to return. The trump of God, the shout of the archangel. The dead in Christ are going to rise first. Then we which are alive and remain will be caught up together with them in the clouds. Job said that I know my Redeemer lives, and that in the last days he's going to stand on this earth. I'm going to see him for myself. And so that is the conclusion of the matter. You'll have your new body. You'll be what you're trying to be right now. You'll complete the journey and complete the work, and God will do a completed work in you. But now we don't see everything at its finish, but we see Jesus. We see him and are reminded that he has everything in control. We see him, and that's enough for us. We see him, and we understand the devil and death and hell and the grave are already defeated. So this business about seeing Jesus or hearing Jesus, it's only possible with your spirit. Your spirit is your interface with things spiritual, the word of God as it is spirit and life. And your flesh is your interface with the world at large or natural things. And both of them are necessary, and so we have to walk in both of those. But if you're going to hear the spirit or see the things of the spirit, see Jesus, for example, then that's going to be an act of faith. That's going to be an act of the spirit. The natural mind has no concept of that. And your fleshly person has no desire for those things. The flesh is after the flesh. The spirit is after the spirit. Read Romans chapter 8. And so 8, 5 and 7 here from Romans. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the spirit, the things of the spirit. Verse 7, because the carnal mind is the enemy of God. It's not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can it be. And so your natural mind will never be converted. It'll always be looking for an exit. It'll always look for a place other than faith, and it'll always speak against your faith. And so you'll have to press through and be something stronger than your natural or default positions. You'll have to press into the right decisions, and you'll have to make an effort to get yourself into the position that God has called you into. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9. But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things that God has prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. So the things of God that are necessary for you to walk in faith and walk in victory, they're going to come to you through the Spirit of God. But the only way that you can interface with his Spirit is by your Spirit. So you can't get all worn down in carnality, and you can't live like the world and forget your prayer life and forget your worship and not have a devotional experience in the Word of God and ever hope to interface with the Spirit of God. You have to be building yourself and yielding yourself to the things that are spiritual. But God has revealed them to us by his Spirit. For what man knoweth the things of a man save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. And here it is, verse 14. But the natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God. They are foolish unto him. Neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. And so you have to move into the arena of the Spirit. You have to move into the arena of faith, a place where your spirit is open. These encounters happen in praise and worship. They happen in prayer. They happen in devotion to the Word of God, and the Spirit of God flows in that, and you are connected or tethered to what God is and what God is saying in His Spirit. Now, seeing and hearing God are spiritual activities. They occur when you're in prayer. If you don't have a prayer life, you have no hope of seeing Jesus. You have no hope of rising up out of the pressure of the day and coming to the conclusion, my God has this all in control. He's able. He's my provider. He's my way maker. In your natural man, you can't see the way. When the Egyptians try to cross over the Red Sea, they die there because they're absolutely carnal and they are not spiritual at all. But the Jews walk across on dry ground. I want you to understand that there are some places your natural person cannot go, and some things in God you cannot receive unless you're willing to walk in the Spirit. This is absolutely a spiritual adventure. This cannot be accomplished in the natural. And you have to develop a prayer life. You have to develop a worship life. It is your lifeline to the things of God, or else you'll just be here in religion. You'll just be here in tradition. You'll just be here in a social fashion. But none of those things will save your soul or change the life that you've been living into the life that God wants you to live. You've got to be a spiritual man. You've got to be a spiritual woman. It's not just fear of hell or the calamity of your life that drove you to an altar and caused you to pray the first time, and God by mercy filled you with the Holy Ghost and you marked that off your list, but you've got to walk up and down in that now. You've got to live in that now. If you've been born of the Spirit, you've got to live in the Spirit. You've got to keep this thing alive in your life. And so all of these spiritual activities occur in prayer. Meditation of the Word is a deeply spiritual activity. Preaching with the preacher becomes a spiritual activity because you're working with the Word of God and you're not sitting back analyzing and speculating, but rather you're engaging the Word of God and you're saying yes to that, and you're saying I believe that, and you're saying that is true, and you're saying let that come to my house, and you're saying let that move in my address, and you're saying I want to be the man that he's preaching about tonight, and I want to be the person that the preacher's preaching about. You see what I mean? It's an ebb and a flow. It's a planting, a sowing, and a receiving. And so even as the word has to be sown, it is only as effective as it is able to be received. You can cast seed on a rocky surface and it'll never penetrate. It never germinates. It never grows. It'll never produce. And so the ground has to be broken up. The preacher can't do that, but you alone can do that. You open yourself up in your prayer life. You open yourself up in a night of weeping. You open yourself up as you seek the face of God in your devotion and in your own time of worship. And when then those two things come together, the sowing of the word, then you are open and arable and you are able to receive the word, and so it's able to germinate in your life. Somebody say praise the Lord. So these are all praise, worship, prayer, teaching, preaching. These are all places where God can open up what I would call the spiritual dynamic. The presence of God is in all the world. The angel cries in Isaiah 6, holy, holy, holy Lord God Almighty. The whole world is filled with his glory. But not everybody feels it. You can have a dynamic spiritual experience and somebody can be sitting right beside you, carnal as a brick. The word of God can change one and bounce right off another one. Someone can receive the Holy Ghost in the middle of this city tonight, and another man or woman take a gun and take someone's life. And those things are going on every day. But These are places where God opens the spiritual dynamic. And these are spiritual activities in which we encounter God anew and afresh, and the cross becomes new again. How many thousands of times have you heard it? But then in a service or in a reading or in a prayer meeting, it just opens up and you see him there again and you begin to weep in his presence, and it's like, look at how God loves me and what he's done. Will he withhold anything from me? And then everything becomes possible and you rise up on the wing of faith and you say, my God, I'm going to make it. We're going to get through this. It's going to be good. God is going to take care of our situation. You understand how that works. These are deeply, profoundly spiritual activities. And in those moments, it's like God opens something up. And then heaven comes down in that place. And anything is possible. The victory of God, the promise of God. It is like the crossing of the Jordan. In my daily prayer, as I'm thinking, as I'm working in a certain area of prayer, I thank God for opening the spiritual dynamic. And the two templates that I use for that, one is the Red Sea parting, and they come out of slavery and they are changed. They are transformed from a slave people to a free people. And that's exactly what happens. That can happen in a moment of time when you come into a place where God tears the fabric and lets heaven come down and all the possibilities of God come down in a moment. It can happen anywhere. It can happen here tonight. It's like God tears something. And in that moment, everything that's available in God is there presented before you. It's like when David said, he prepares a table for me in the presence of mine enemies. You ought to be worried. You ought to be frantic. Pressure is there. The enemy is there. But here I am sitting down at a table that God has spread. That table's not filled with natural things. That table's filled with spiritual things. And I'm telling you, God wants to do that. But it takes a person that's able to come into a place where God feels compelled to open that spiritual dynamic. And so he opens it, and that's a place that we might call the deep. It is a place where something is opened up in the spirit, and now the potential is there for you to launch into places or dive into places or dig into places that you've never been before. Now, at that crossing of the Jordan River, God gave them instructions. We won't read it tonight. But at the crossing of the Jordan, he said, now, Joshua, in the place where the priest's feet stand, I'm going to part that river. And he said, I want you, after the people are clean Passover, I want you to take a man from every tribe, and every man is going to take up a stone out of the bed of that river. And they're going to take them, and they're going to build a monument, a memorial at your first encampment there at Gilgal. But Joshua goes further. He builds a memorial in the riverbed itself. It is a place. When God opened Jordan, it wasn't just a river opening, although that was a massive miracle in the natural. But all biblical miracles are indicative of spiritual values. All biblical miracles, when he's healing blind people, it's not about compassion for the blind. It's about saying everybody without God is blind, and I have the power to give you sight. I'll tell you tonight, a blind man can have the sight of God in his life and be right with God. The miracle is in the spirit. Okay, so in the parting of that Jordan, there is a powerful and a profound natural miracle because the waters stack up. But it is not just that. They are moving out of a wandering wilderness experience into an experience where God gives them a place that is their own place. They take up ownership in the promise of God. He gives them boundaries that have nothing to do with the size of their enemies or the strength of the opposing armies. God just says, this is yours. Now go get it. This is yours. Now walk up and down in it. Lay claim to this. This belongs to you. That happens in a place where God opens up the spiritual dynamic. Now, in that place, God gives them instruction for those men to get. Now God has opened it. Now men or women get down in the place that God has opened up, and they seize upon weighty things, and they bring them out of what has been hidden and what will soon after be hidden again. But they bring things out of the flowing of the Spirit of God, and they create actualized memorials in the real natural world. When God opens the spiritual dynamic, men and women bring things out of that place. Now, you can just pass right through and just say, wow, that was great church tonight. Or you can take it to the next level. You can sit and say, wow, that was great preaching tonight. Or you can take it to the next level and say, that's mine. I take that. I'm going to be that. That's going to affect my life and my house. And so you can walk through the breach of the spiritual dynamic and not take anything out into your Monday or Tuesday or Thursday or Friday. Or you can stop there and you can say, what does this mean? And what is there to gain? And what can I mine out of this place? I'm here. We've worshiped. We've prayed. I've sought the face of God. Now God is moving, and now something is possible. It is in that moment that you need to take it to the next level, and you need to reach deep down into what God is doing and lay hold of something weighty that you can bring out and actualize in the real world. They brought out stones, but that's just a monument in the visible for a demonstration and for a testimony. But when you have an encounter with the deep, you can build a memorial in the visible and in the invisible. You can, in those moments when God opens the breach, you can rearrange things in the visible and in the invisible. In those moments where God moves something, you can change the natural world around you, and you can change the spiritual dynamic world around you by your response. It is so incredible what God puts in our hands, like a young king with a band of arrows, not knowing what in the world those arrows have to do with the defeat of his enemies. He has no idea at all. But I'm telling you, whatever God gives you to do, do it with all of your heart, all of your might, as unto the Lord, because you don't know what powerful thing in destiny God is moving on and God is dealing with. Praise God. We rearrange things. Things open up. Things are possible, and people have to interact with those things or they languish. Those stones would have just stayed in the bottom of that river. Those moments to actualize, those moments to realize potential can pass by. Praise God. When there is an opening, a breach in the spiritual dynamic, interesting things happen. Something just here this past Sunday morning. Brother Jasper brought his sister and her husband to church on Sunday morning. And I was really interested after the service to hear their testimony. The young lady said that during that portion of the altar call, she felt a hand pushing her. She didn't go to the altar, but she felt something pushing her toward the altar, something moving in the spirit, something moving in the house. I'm not trying to creep you out. I'm just trying to tell you, when you open things up in prayer and in praise and in the preaching of the word of God, God begins to move on men and women. God begins to make things possible that weren't possible just a few moments before. Things can happen. Things can change. It doesn't have to go on being the way it's been in your life. When there's a breach in the things of the spirit, that's when you reach down and you really lay hold of it and you push this thing and you bring something out into your real world. It was we were in San Jose a couple of Sundays ago, and that's where Sis Sutton got the food poisoning, or I think it, now I'm thinking it's E. coli. Pray for her. She's really just been under it. We Sunday morning, I'm preaching about Jesus and the cross, and mining Isaiah 53 in that house. And there's two ladies from Africa. It's their very first time to be in that church, first time to be in an apostolic service at all. And they came down to the altar and they prayed and they went as far as going back to the baptismal area, and they were about to get baptized, and they got to thinking about things that they needed to do and people they needed to talk to and a schedule they needed to keep and all that. And so at the moment where they might have been baptized, they decided they wouldn't do it then. They would do it later. And as they were on the street walking back to where they had they lived, somewhere nearby the church, they had actually walked to church. They were walking down the street and the Holy Ghost just began to tell them, if you don't do this now, you'll never do this. If you don't do this now, you'll never do this. You need to do this now. They turned on a dime on the middle of that busy street and they came back to the house, and I saw a little film footage. They both went down in the water in Jesus' name. They both received the Holy Ghost and they both spoke in tongues for the very first time. But I want you to know what happened there. Somebody had been praying. Somebody worshiped in that service. Somebody preached the word of God and somebody said amen to that. And in that moment, God opened up the possibilities of eternal salvation for somebody that never had walked in the Holy Ghost before. And the Holy Ghost began to talk in that place, and things in the spirit were reassembled, and things on the outside were changed, and nothing is going to be the same there ever again. It was a breach in the spirit, and people responded in the spirit. And those moments don't have to be few and far between. Those moments don't have to be some rare thing that you only talk about, well, 10 years ago when... You know, it doesn't have to be that way, but we can walk in this. Paul talks about walking in the Spirit. He talks about living in the Spirit. It is a daily experience. Your prayer life has to be and I'm not trying to beat you up with condemnation. I'm just telling you can't get where God wants to take you without a vibrant prayer life. You need to find yourself a place, a way, make it happen, whatever you've got to do. I don't know what your schedule is. But you need to make a moment and then mind the moment. The first thing, you got to be there in the moment. So you got to be there. Everybody say be there. Which means you might be in the house, but you might not be in the moment. We have great church all the time that just rushes by people and over people and under people, and they never take advantage of it because they're not there. They're not in that moment. They don't just say, all right, I want this. Do what you want to do to me, God. I want to be a part of this. Okay, so being there is first. Being responsive is next. You got to respond. They that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. It's a lowercase s. It's your spirit. You've got to engage. You can't ride on somebody else's coattails in here. I mean, I love it. Sister and Brother Butler still run the aisles. They still every now and then get up and just run the aisles. But you can't have victory because they run the aisles. You can't have victory because they have victory. You've got to be responsive. You can't have the value of what's happening in the spirit because someone else is clapping their hands. You got to clap your hands. You can't have the value of what God's doing in the spirit because somebody else is dancing. You need to get on your feet. You may not be able to dance. You can walk, do something, but you need to be there and you need to be responsive to the spirit of God. Somebody say amen. Let's clap our hands unto him right now and bless his name. What you're doing right now is profoundly spiritual. You're saying yes to the things of God. And God can take a little bit, just a little response. He can do a lot with just a small response. Praise God. I want to be among those with Moses that make it through the breach and out into liberty. I don't want to be with those that die with the Egyptians. Praise God. They're all people. They're all standing in the same place, but they don't get the same results. And there's not a one of those Egyptians that could not have been with the Jews had he chosen. Praise God. I want to be a part of the Joshua generation that crossed that Jordan when it was torn by the power of God. I don't want to be a part of that unbelieving generation that came to the same spot, to the same river, to the same promise, to all the same discussion points that God had with the next generation. He had with that previous generation. But they would not move and they would not respond and they would not say yes. They by their mouths said, we can't do that. That doesn't need to be in your vernacular. You need to say, if God says it, we can do it. If God wants it, we'll make it happen. God is able. Come on, somebody. God can handle whatever you're in right now. God can handle that. That needs to be your mantra. That needs to be your voice. The unbelieving generation never had the chance to gather stones for a memorial. They never made their way into the breach of the Spirit. They never gathered stones up out of the riverbed for actualizing the things of the Spirit. Things in the Spirit are potential. They are potentialities. They are things yet to be realized, made real. They are things yet to be actualized or made actual. And so you can go down in the Spirit. You can feel the Spirit. You can walk in those same places, but you may not mine anything out of there and take it out and make it real in your life. But that's the calling of God, to get down and dig down in there. So when you're worshiping and you feel God moving and God's opening up the potential there, then you settle into that place of worship and say, ah, he's opening it up. Let me dig down in this place. Let me utter things through the Spirit I've never uttered before. Let me ratchet up the intensity a little bit. Let me take the arrows and beat them until they're fine like matchsticks or something. I just want to dig down a little deeper. I don't want to casually walk through a place where God is opening up the potential and the power of God and not take advantage of it. Well, praise God. So when God opens it up, we have a calling to dig things out, bring them out into the real, into the actual, things out of the invisible into the visible. There's victories in there, and there's power in there, and there's provision in there, and everything, every good thing that God has. You know, when God tore the veil in the temple, he made a huge statement indicating the law was over. Lindsay, you can come help me. The law was ended and church was about to start. But he also opened up into the potential of what was in that Holy of Holies. In that Holy of Holies, you had the mercy seat. And in that box, you had the stone tablets that God had given. A fresh, immutable, unchangeable word from God. You had Aaron's rod that budded. You had the authority of God. I'm telling you, when God opens this up, everything is available. The Word of God is available to you. Where people study the Word of God in an academic forum, and they never actualize the promise of it. People carry it under their arm, sit it by their bedside. They can even talk about it a little bit, but they never make it real in their life. But I'm telling you, when you walk in a place where God has torn the veil, where God has opened the breach, the Word of God becomes dynamic. The Word of God becomes real in a way that it's never been real before. And you can mine out of that Word and take it into your tomorrow. Take it into your house. Take it into your family situation. And let that Word do its work. The provision of God is there. A bowl of manna that never changed was in that place. Let's stand together. Praise God. I thank God for an abbreviated Wednesday night. You get it done, but you got to get it done fast. But I don't want to walk through a place where God is opening up a spiritual dynamic and walk out on the other side empty-handed. I want to dig down. I want to find what it means and what God's made available. Now, I'll just tell you, in the church tradition that I grew up in, they never even made it to the breach in the Spirit. They never even understood the moving of the Spirit. And so this conversation you couldn't have even had with them. But for us, apostolics, Pentecostals, we know about the moving of the Spirit. But it's not enough. The Spirit of God moves in all sorts of venues, and people never bring anything out of that magical, wonderful moment where God parts the waters, opens the spiritual dynamic, tears the veil. They never bring anything out of that. So to step up, quite often you wonder, what's the next level? Let me suggest something to you tonight. When that begins to happen, and if you're seasoned in the Spirit, you know when it's happening. You can feel it in the service. You can feel it in your prayer meeting. You can feel it in your devotion. When it begins to happen, lay your head down on that Bible and begin to weep and to call out on God. When it begins to happen in your prayer, dig down a little deeper. Let that Spirit of God that's in you begin to pray prayers that are way beyond your pay grade. When it begins to happen in your worship, go ahead and mind that. Go ahead and work that a little bit and see what God can do. Praise God. Let's come gather down around the altar tonight. Mighty God, we just want to gather up things. We want to gather up things out of the place where you open up your spirit and you open up the spiritual divide and you break and breach the spiritual dynamic. Mighty God, we want to press into this a little more. We want to embrace a little better, a little more deeply. A little more strongly, God. We want to press in to what you have for us. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Mighty, 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 mighty God.